God commissioned the prophets to warn Israel and Judah that they needed to turn from their evil ways and to go back and following what God had instructed them to do. You know, Jeremiah was given the difficult task of warning the nation of Judah. As a young man, God commissioned him to give a strong message of repentance to Judah, warning that the temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed and the people would go into captivity. You know, as Jeremiah continued to warn and deliver God's message of repentance and judgment, he began to be worn down by the persecution and the abuse that he had to take from the leaders and the citizens. The nation that he loved and the people that he loved rejected God's message and warning and rejected him as well. Let me read from Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5 from the New English Translation, when Jeremiah questioned how long God would allow the wicked to continue to persecute him. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5 tells us, "The Lord answered, 'If you race on foot against men and they have worn you out, how will you be able to compete with the horses? And if you feel secure and only in safe and open country, how will you be managed in the thick undergrowth of the Jordan River?'" You know, God was answered Jeremiah, telling him that the times he was going through at that time was not that difficult, that more difficult times were coming in the future. Jeremiah would need to endure the Babylonians and King Nebuchadnezzar taking over the land of Judah and the people going into captivity. If you turn over to Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, read verses 6 through 8, verses 8 through 9 in Galatians chapter 6. You know, the previous verses, Paul's writing that everyone needs to examine themselves and that how we reap the reward of what we sow. Galatians chapter 6, and starting in verse 8, says, "For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, but in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart." You know, Thayer's Greek lexicon, the Greek word for weary can also mean utterly spiritless. It can mean also exhausted. Paul's telling us here that we need to make sure that we don't lose heart, make sure that we don't give up. You know, throughout the history of God's church, some have committed their lives to following God's way. After a few years or even decades of serving God, they've given up and quit, either from discouragement or from just growing tired and worn out. You know, we understand that when God starts working with us, that we need to put away the selfish thinking and living before we were called and become God-centered in our life. To not be selfish anymore or self-centered, but to be God-centered, to follow him. We also understand that spiritual warfare, battling Satan, this world, our own human nature, is not easy to do. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. Here in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus' disciples had asked him what it would be like before his second coming or return to this earth. And Jesus described the difficult times for those who would be followers of him. Talked about false prophets, persecution, and lawlessness. In verse 13 of Matthew chapter 24, it says, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." You know, enduring until Christ's return is to be actively seeking God and his righteousness and how we live our lives, is to be committed to winning the spiritual battle against Satan and the influence of this world upon us. It's serving in God's church. It's serving God. It's not giving up or walking away with what God has given to us. You know, in our life, oftentimes we can grow weary. In today's world, it's often referred to as burnout. Somebody becomes burned out, where they're tired of the things they're doing. Maybe it's they're tired of their job. Maybe it's tired of their marriage or their family or their situation that they find themselves in. Even staying committed to following God's commandments and teaching, sometimes people become burned out at that. So for today's message, I want to talk of how we can avoid and overcome spiritual burnout in our lives. How we can avoid or overcome spiritual burnout. It's important to understand the symptoms so we can take the necessary steps to avoid or overcome spiritual burnout in our lives. You know, there's three areas that we can become burned out. There's mentally, physically, and spiritually. Being burned out mentally and physically can impact us spiritually in our lives, and I think we all understand that. So for today's sermon, I'll touch mainly on the spiritual side, but we'll also address some of those things as well. So the title for today's message is Overcoming Spiritual Burnout. Overcoming Spiritual Burnout. Now, some of the common definitions of burnout include the loss of enthusiasm, loss of energy, perspective, or purpose in their life, feeling fatigued or worn out, or just plain tired. All those are symptoms. Also, feeling like everything that happens in your life is adding more stress to it, that you find little enjoyment in what you do. Spiritual burnout happens over the course of time when our spiritual and my physical lives get out of balance. Sometimes we lose enthusiasm and energy for God's way of life. Again, losing perspective, becoming even pessimistic and negative in our outlook of life. If we're not careful, spiritual burnout can happen to us as well, even in God's church. Sometimes people begin to view God's life as being too hard. It's too hard, or even view it as oppressive. Some people get to the place where they don't find a benefit with having a relationship with God, or reading his Bible, doing Bible study, or even prayer. Some come to the point where they don't even want to come to church and fellowship, not wanting to fellowship anymore. You know, all these are symptoms of spiritual burnout in their life. The loss of zeal, the lack of energy, begin to lose perspective. So it's important for us to look at this topic today. And I have 4 points that I want to bring out today. 4 points that can help us to avoid or overcome spiritual burnout. First thing, if you're suffering or tired spiritually, you need to ask God to renew our spirit. Point number one is ask God to renew our spirit. And while there's things that we can do to help ourselves with spiritual burnout, which I'll look at later, we all should recognize the need to address spiritual burnout. We really need God's help. We need God's help. In our lives, we really need God's help in everything that we do, but especially when it comes to spiritual burnout. Sometimes we think that we can fix things ourselves or that other people can help us fix things, but at the end of the day, it's truly God is the one that can help us. God is the one that can help us. If you turn to Psalm chapter 51, Psalm chapter 51, read verses 10 through 12. You know, David wrote this psalm of repentance when he needed God's help. Nathan the prophet had come to him and pointed out what kind of a man he was concerning the adultery with Bathsheba and having her husband killed. You know, David had lost his way spiritually. Here in Psalm chapter 51, starting verse 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me." You know, David understood his problem started in his mind and his heart. He'd allowed himself to commit adultery, and with human reasoning, he tried to fix the problem, even having Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, put to death. You know, David acknowledged his sins and he repented from them. He asked God that he needed his help. He needed his help for a clean heart and a steadfast spirit. Brethren, we all need God's help with having a steadfast spirit. A steadfast spirit can mean to be upright, a proper spirit. It helps us to walk uprightly, to walk in the ways that God wants us to walk. You know, the word here for renew can mean to rebuild, repair, to make like new. God can help us to do those things. With God's help, we can have a steadfast spirit. God has everything that we need to overcome spiritual burnout, including the forgiveness of our sins. Now continue on in verse 12. It says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with your generous spirit." And when we're suffering from spiritual burnout, we need to be restored. And God is the one that can help restore us. We need to find the joy of his salvation again. You know, here in these two verses, David stated that he needed energy. He needed perspective again to be following God's way of life. And God is able to restore that joy when we go to him and when we seek him. If you turn over to Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25 through 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 through 31. Isaiah was writing to the nation of Israel, which is also, which we are spiritual descendants of, Abraham's seed. Something that's helpful if we're dealing with spiritual burnout. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 25. "To whom then you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings out the host by number, who calls them by name. By the greatness of his might and strength of his power, not one is missing." Brethren, we understand there's only one true God. If you look up at the stars on a clear evening, you can see all the stars, and it gives you a better perspective of the greatness of God. We're reminded here that he calls them by name. All things were created by him, and he can sustain them by his power and his greatness. And continuing on in verse 27, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God? Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength." You know, God has not forgotten any of us. Our lives, our problems are not hidden from him. He sees the things that we go through, and we're reminded again that he doesn't become weary. He doesn't become burned out. His power is always there to help us. You know, as physical human beings, it's hard for us to understand. You know, after a busy day of working hard on different things, you know, when we lay down at night, I know sometimes when I lay down on the bed, it just feels so good to lay down and rest, to have some rest. Brethren, spiritually, when we become tired from not being plugged into God, our source of our spiritual strength, we need rest as well. And he's the one that can give it to us. He's the one that can help us. It starts by having and keeping a relationship with God. God's listening to us when we pray and ask for his help, and he's willing to help us to walk with him. Continuing on in verse 30, it tells us, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with the wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not be faint. You know, verse 30 reminds us, even when we're young and feeling our strongest, it's nothing compared to God. Verse 31 tells us God is the one who renews our strength spiritually. He can renew our strength. So I was working on this sermon. One of the interesting facts is eagles' wings are renewed each year. Each year, eagles shed their feathers. It's called a process called molting, which we may be familiar with. Usually takes place in the late spring and the early summer months. During that time, the old damaged feathers are shed and gradually replaced with new ones. This process makes sure that eagles' feathers remain in the best condition for flight. Brethren, we need God to renew our spiritual strength. We need his help in getting rid of things that are holding us back or keeping us from being spiritually strong. Things that could be worrying us as Paul talked about, becoming weary with well-doing. God is the source of that renewing strength. It comes from his Spirit. Something else we're told about in verse 31, it says, but those who wait on the Lord, which brings me to my second point that I want to bring out today. Seek and wait on God. Seek and wait on God. You know, while God helps us in many different ways, both spiritually as well as physically, we're instructed to seek him, learning to wait. Those two things go together. You know, God knows there are times when we seek him when we need an immediate response. And God also knows what's best for us, and sometimes he wants us to wait for that response. I'll first look at our need to seek God. For those who are burned out spiritually, oftentimes they've given up seeking God. They've come to the point, why seek God? He's not listening to them. Doesn't seem to be answering their prayers. We probably all have this verse memorized. Matthew chapter 6:33 tells us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Brethren, if we're not careful, sometimes we get this verse turned around. We're seeking all the things that God says he'll add to us, that will be added to us. We get those out of order. We seek the things of this physical world more than we seek the things of God. You know, in the previous verses, Jesus told us not to be anxious or worry about the physical things, that he'll take care of them. But we must have our priorities straight to where we're seeking him first. Seeking him first in our relationship, seeking him first in how we live our lives. God can't be one of our priorities. He has to be our first priority. He has to be the first priority in our lives. We understand that God's helping prepare us for his kingdom and to grow in righteousness. Part of that is keeping our eyes focused on the calling that God has given to us. God's given us a great calling, but he's helping us to replace our carnal nature with his righteousness. God wants us to have a close relationship with him because he desires that and because he loves us. He knows how much we need him. If you turn to Psalms chapter 27, verses 7 through 14. Earlier in this chapter, David's praising God as his salvation. But a few verses later, he's crying out for God's help. And we'll read that here in Psalms chapter 27, starting verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. You know, David's crying out for mercy and help. Verse 8, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. You know, God's telling David to come, speak to him, to draw close to him, to seek him. And David responds from his heart, telling him that he will do that. In verse 9, but do not hide your face from me, and do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. Now, David's telling God that he really needs his help. All of us really need God's help in our lives. We need that help each day. We need to be seeking his will. We need to be seeking his guidance, seeking his direction in our life. And that's a need we need both physically as well as spiritually. Continuing on in verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. You know, David's stating here that God's love is much stronger than even a mother or a father. I said earlier, God will never forsake us. He won't forsake his church. We're reminded of that in John chapter 14, when Christ told his disciples that he would not leave them orphans, that he would send the Holy Spirit to help them, to help guide them. You know, oftentimes those who are spiritually burned out come to the point where they feel disconnected with God. They feel like they don't have anyone to turn to. Brethren, when we feel that way, we need to turn to God. We need to seek him. Verse 11 tells us, teach me your way, O Lord, lead me in the smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me and have breathed out violence. And I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. When we seek God to continue to lead us, he'll help us to recover from spiritual burnout. David stated here the need to believe and have faith while he was still living, that God would help him. Verse 14 tells us to be of good courage, that God would strengthen our heart. But we're told twice to wait on the Lord. Twice to wait on the Lord. In this day and age, none of us are very good at waiting. It seems like we're kind of programmed for that. You know, when we're dealing with spiritual burnout, trusting and waiting on God is hard for us to do. You know, we live in a modern society that our inner timer is out of balance. We've been conditioned that waiting for something for 5 minutes is a long time. You know, expecting something to happen quickly makes us impatient. Oftentimes we become upset or angry. We need to be reminded that many things in life take time. They take time. This physical life and spiritual life takes time to learn the things that we need to learn. I think we understand that physically. It takes time to learn a job. It takes time to learn how to cook food, how to prepare it. It takes time to learn how to interact with other people, how to relate to them. It takes time to manage our time and other life skills. It also takes time spiritually. God wants us to wait on him. And sometimes I think we forget that. You know, waiting helps us to grow in patience. It helps our understanding and our need for God to grow. Waiting helps us to grow in God's character. Waiting helps us show us the process that we need to change. Gives us time to think about the things that God may be trying to teach us. Waiting can help us to grow in faith and trust in God. Waiting on God helps us to start to have spiritual rest and peace as well. We put things in God's hands and wait on him, we'll find spiritual rest and peace. You turn to Isaiah chapter 55, read verses 6 through 9. Earlier in this chapter, God was telling us through Isaiah's writing that he'll supply the needs if we'll just listen to him and look to him. Isaiah chapter 55, starting verse 6, says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." You know, those who are experiencing spiritual burnout are not always seeking God as they should. You know, God has a love for us. He wants us to grow. We're told here to seek him while he may be found, to forsake our wicked ways. You know, God loves us very much, but he also loves us enough that he wants us to grow. If our sins are separating us from God, we need to repent. We need to seek him and ask for his mercy and forgiveness. And continuing on in verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Brethren, we need to examine our thoughts and compare them to God's thoughts. Examine our priorities to see if they're God's priorities. Now, sometimes I believe God makes us wait to give us a time out. To give us a time out that we can rethink, that we can look at our lives and see some of the things that God sees in us. You know, we live in a world Where if we're following the things in this world and have the priorities of this world, we'll have the same results that we see in this world. While this world can produce physical goods, they often reap the penalty of sin. They live lives without true hope and joy. When we're in tune with God and His thoughts and His priorities, we begin to see more of His perspective, which brings me to my third point today, is that we need to focus on God's perspective. Focus on God's perspective. And when we ask God to have a steadfast spirit and when we seek and wait on Him, it should help us to have a right perspective on our life. You know, God has a perspective that's different than what we sometimes think. God thinks of us as that He's our parent, which He is. He's God our Father. We're created in His image, and He views us as His children. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 18, we'll read verses 2 through 5. This is when His disciples were asking Jesus who would be the greatest in the kingdom. Matthew chapter 18, and we'll start in verse 2. Then Jesus called to Him a little child to Him, set him in the midst of them. And He said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one like a little child, like this in my name, receives me." You know, God sees Himself as our loving Father. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. Part of that relationship with Him is having more of our Father's perspective. We're told here that we need to humble ourselves like a little child so that we can learn. Sometimes when we go through our lives, we become frustrated or spiritually burned out because we're not listening to our Father. You know, those who have been parents know oftentimes their children don't understand what their parents are telling them. We're all told not to run out in the street. We tell our children they can't eat pizza and ice cream for every meal. Hopefully that as we grow up, we understand why we don't do those things. You know, often as we grow and mature, we begin to understand. It also happens to us as well spiritually. You know, our perspective is not always God's perspective, but when we try to seek God's perspective and try to focus on God's perspective, we'll see things differently. We'll still have struggles in this physical life. We'll still have different things that we go through. I wrote this in my notes today. Sometimes, and we've heard this before, you've heard the phrase that you can't see the forest for the trees. That happens to us as well. This phrase describes someone who fails to see the bigger picture of a situation because they're overwhelmed by focusing on the smaller issues. God certainly has a different perspective than we do in our lives. As I said, we all will experience hard times. There's times when we hurt physically and emotionally and mentally. This physical life is not pain-free from suffering, but it is the same for all of us, not only those in God's church, but all in this world. Sometimes we become so focused on the physical that we lose sight of God's perspective. God's perspective is He's preparing His children for His kingdom and family. You turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 33. In chapters 14 and 15 and 16, Jesus told His disciples that He was preparing a kingdom for them. He told them that God the Father would supply His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, to help them. He reminded His disciples that He was the true vine and they were the branches, that they needed to stay connected to Him. He gives some final instructions of encouragement, and concluding in verse 33 of John chapter 16, he told his disciples this. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And we're told here that Jesus Christ can help us to have peace in our lives. Even when we're living in a troubled world, even when we have trials and tribulations, Jesus Christ can help us to have peace when we understand that we've been redeemed, that we've been forgiven of our sins, and the great opportunity that he's given to us to have a relationship with God our Father. Jesus Christ makes all those things possible so that we can overcome the world and we can have peace as well. You turn to Psalms chapter 100. Psalms chapter 100, I'll read verses 1 through 5. Brethren, when we're thankful and when we give God thanks for the things that we have, we begin to see him in a better perspective and change our focus as well. In Psalms 100, verse 1, it says, "A psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures all generations." Giving God thanks helps us to focus on God's perspective, because we can see all the things that he does for us, all the things that he's offered to us. The more we have God's perspective, the more we understand this physical life is just preparing us for his kingdom, when our real life will begin. Our real life will begin in his kingdom and part of his family. Brother, we need to make sure that we have more of God's perspective in our life, because it will change our outlook on everything that we do, and it will help us to not become spiritually burned out. The last point I want to bring out today is endurance, that we need to have endurance. You know, when you think of the word endurance, oftentimes we think of the word endure. But endure just means that we can put up with something. You know, most of you know that I don't particularly like the winter time, but I endure it. I endure the cold weather so I can get back to spring and get back to warmer weather that I enjoy more. But endurance is more than just enduring something that's unpleasant or just hanging on. The word endurance is used to describe running a marathon. You know, a marathon is called an endurance race. Endurance means the ability to continue to do something for a long time. The ability to continue to do something for a long time. Those who are experiencing spiritual burnout often neglect the important things for spiritual endurance. One of the most important things is having the right goals, having the right goal in their life. You turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. These are scriptures that we recognize. We read them often. I want to read and look at them when we talk about endurance and having the right goals. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1, says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race set before us." You know, the great cloud of witnesses being described are those written about in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. Those who were faithful, those who had endurance in their life. You know, those who run a marathon don't carry a backpack full of camping gear. Why? It'd be added weight. It's not what they need. For us to continue to run the spiritual marathon that we're in, we're reminded here to lay aside every weight. If it's not helping us spiritually, we need to rid ourselves of that weight. It just makes it harder to run an endurance race. Continuing on in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For considered him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Well, Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection provided everything that we need to fulfill the destiny that God's called us to be a part of this great plan of salvation. He's the example that we follow. He's an example of endurance. He endured persecution. He also gave up his life for each of us here today. You know, our goal is to run a spiritual race with endurance. We must be committed to being a disciple of Christ. We should understand it's a lifelong commitment. It's not a commitment that we should take lightly. It's a lifelong commitment. Will there be trials and tests? Yes. We must continue to be devoted to God. You know, Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. I'll read that. Philippians 3:20 tells us, "For our citizenship is in the heaven, from which we eagerly wait the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, spiritual burnout can come from not being fully committed and prepared to serve God in spirit and in truth. If you turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, I'll read verses 11 through 13. To run an endurance race, physically or spiritually, takes preparation. Paul reminds us here that God supplies the things that we need. He supplies the spiritual things that we need. Ephesians chapter 6, and starting verse 11. "But put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." Now, Paul then goes to detail the various pieces of that armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Endurance is having our spiritual armor on every day. We put on our spiritual armor every day because we need it. We need it every day. We can't miss a day of not putting on our spiritual armor, because if we're not prepared spiritually, Satan will continue to wear on us, and this world will wear us down and defeat us. The Bible repeatedly tells us that we must be prepared for this spiritual journey. Be prepared to complete the journey that we've started. You know, God's picked us, handpicked us at this time to be a part of the first fruits that he's calling. He tells us it won't be easy, but he has the help that we need. But we must need to continue to be prepared spiritually, continue to pray, continue to study God's Bible, continue to be with a spiritual family at church, because all these things help sustain our spiritual health. You know, learning what God is teaching us takes patience with God and takes patience with others. If you turn to James chapter 5, read verses 7 through 8. You know, the book of James is full of wisdom, of things that we need to understand and do as God's working with us. James uses the analogy that hopefully most of us have experienced here in Kansas. James chapter 5, starting verse 7, says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how a farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. I want to read verse 8 through Albert Barnes' notes on the Bible. Explains it like this. I think it's very good. It's from Albert Barnes' notes on the Bible. It says that the farmer is, in due time, he expects the return of the rain so he may anticipate deliverance from his trials. Let your purpose and your faith be firm and unwavering. Do not become weary and fretful, but bear with consistency all that's laid upon you until the time of your deliverance shall come. Brethren, we all need to be patient as we continue on in endurance. God's reliable. We can trust him. We need to make sure that we don't lose sight of God's promise and the tremendous opportunities that we've been given today. God will provide everything that we need as we continue to run with endurance and finish the spiritual race that we're on. You know, today we've looked at four different areas about being burned out mentally, physically, and mostly spiritually. We need to seek God, asking him to help renew us with a steadfast mind and a heart, and continue to walk in his way. We can't allow ourselves to become physically burned out, which can happen when we're overworked in our jobs or seeking other activities in our physical life. You know, when we're physically burned out, we often become spiritually burned out as well. We looked at our continued need to seek God, our continued need to wait on him. When we do, we can receive the peace and comfort that only God can give us. And God can also help us to refocus on his perspective, to see things more as he sees us and sees the things that we need to do. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, read verses 16 through 18 as we conclude the message for today. Here Paul reminds us of our need of endurance as we're headed for God's kingdom. God's preparing and transforming us now. We know from other parts of the Bible it's not an easy journey. As I said many times today, we do have God's help though. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, read verses 16 through 18. It says, therefore, do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We should understand that the things that God has given us are precious. We shouldn't lose heart. We shouldn't allow ourselves to become discouraged. We shouldn't allow ourselves to become spiritually burned out. The difficult times we go through are difficult. You know, Paul here tells them the light trials that we have. You know, if you look at Paul's life, he did go through a lot of trials. It's hard for him to imagine the things that he went through. But he tells us that we go through those difficult times as God helps prepare us, and that what God's offering us, eternal life in his family, definitely outweigh whatever we go through in this physical life. So, brethren, let's keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, as we continue with endurance to complete the spiritual race we've been called to.